Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, an Australian look at how to reinvent yourself for retirement and being retirement ready. I'm extremely excited and privileged to be talking with Marianne Stiles. Marianne started her career as an article clerk in North Sydney before setting out on an intrepid journey of work that took her to many parts of the world. Marianne is an author, change facilitator, marketing consultant, and public speaker. During her 20-year professional career, Marianne has held the position of managing director at several major companies, and her companies have worked with most of the large oil and gas companies around the world. She lists building a mobile mud plant for Chevron Barron Island Exploration Project as her biggest achievement. Her work earned her the nickname Tank Lady.
That's right.
Marianne has studied in the United Kingdom at Oxford Brookes University as a postgraduate of University of WA and worked for many mentors. Marianne is the author of Taking Off, How to Be Paid to Travel. So welcome, Marianne.
Thank you, Anne. It's lovely to be here.
I always start my talks by getting a little background on people. So how did you start your journey to success?
Well, I've had sort of a few incarnations for success. So I was very successful at running those companies to begin with. And it was actually not wanting to stay in a paid position, really, that inspired me to get out and to start my first company in 1995. I was just sort of sick of working for other people. So I decided to take the brave move of setting up a company and started subcontracting for the people that we used to work for. And that's how it all began. And then out of that, we were able to take it onto the international arena and start then contracting directly to the major players like Chevron, Woodside, Shell International. And so that took us all around the world. When I say us, it was a partnership with my now ex-husband. He did part of the work and I mostly ran the business, and he was the engineer who provided some of the services. So that's how we started out together.
So that sounds like a really exciting field to be working in. What would you say was crucial to your success journey?
I think you have to be brave. There's no two ways around it. If you're not brave and you don't take a few risks and take a few chances, you'll never know what you can and can't do. If you're always going to sit back and wait for something to happen, you'll be waiting a very long time, in my experience. So I think having some courage to actually take some action and take the initiative is really pretty crucial.
That sounds very wise advice there. How has your personal growth led to your business success?
It's interesting because I think my personal growth, I suppose I had personal growth in that I had a lot of training on the job when I was living in all of these different countries. And when you're thrown into a different culture with a different language and you don't know where anything is, you can't find anything, you can't speak to anybody, you have to learn pretty quick. So in that sense, my personal growth was developed, you know, from the age of 21, which is when I left Australia. I left Australia at 21 and didn't really come back, well, for about 30 years, but only 20 of those were spent in sort of foreign countries. When I say only 20 of those, I know that's quite a lot. So I was learning on the job, if you like, but my personal growth in terms of self-development started really post all that business success when I started looking at myself, because I decided to pull a pin on my marriage, my relationship, my company, and I basically pulled a pin on it and blew it up. So I had to reinvent myself.
I see. That's what happens to a lot of us, I suppose. You have worked and lived in many countries around the world. Would you be able to share some of your experiences overseas? Yeah.
So if you'd been living with me back in 1980, you would have found yourself living in a very small fishing village on the east coast of Malaysia called Kuala Dungan. Now, Kuala Dungan had 10,000 people in it. The biggest industry was fishing. The only other industry was oil exploration. In those days, it was the Tapas project, which, of course, Tapas is now on the stock exchange. But back then, it was just a small little fishing village. I was one of only two expatriate women living there in 10,000 people of Malay origin. So nobody spoke English very much. I had to learn to speak Malay because there was no other way around it. And back then, the shopping strip was one street with about 6 to 10 shops in it, and that was it. There was no cinema, no supermarket, no hairdressers. No, there was very little there. So you had to kind of make your own entertainment. And my day consisted a lot of going to the local market to pick up food to bring back for the cook to prepare. So I had cooks and maids and all that sort of thing. And so that was my big event for the day, apart from running the company, which I was doing remotely. So this day I set out. In those days I was riding a yellow motorbike, believe it or not. My husband decided that buying dirt bikes was the way to go. We were in our 20s, we were young, we had no children, so dirt bikes. So we had matching yellow dirt bikes, and of course it was all right for him, but for me I could barely touch the ground. So here I am balancing precariously on this dirt bike, and I'm doing the shopping, and then all of the shopping has to go somewhere on the bike because there's no pannier. So I have to balance, you know, plastic bags on either side of the handles to try and keep my balance and to get home. So there's only one road in and one road out of the town. And this day I was coming back from the market. I looked a bit like a Ninja Turtle because on my back I had a rucksack, and in it I had a half a watermelon. So I looked like a bit like a turtle. It was quite hilarious. And I was juggling these two plastic bags with fish and, you know, lemongrass sticking out of the top of them. And up in front of me, there was a crowd on the road. And I thought, this is strange. This has never happened. It's hot. The sun's beating down. It's humid. It's about 10 o'clock because I wasn't really up early. And people are not normally out in the sun at this time of the day. What's going on? So as I draw towards them, I pull up and I stop and I look, and there in the middle of the road is a cobra. So decision time. The only thing stopping me getting from where I am now to home is the crowd and the cobra. So what do I do? I have choices. I can do nothing and sit and wait for somebody else to do something and get rid of the cobra. By that time, all of my beautiful fresh food will have spoiled because it's hot and humid. Or I can take some action and decide to go for this. So I go, right, we're going to do this. So I beep the horn. I wave the crowds out of the way. I indicate to them I'm coming through, and all I can think is, don't drop the bike, 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 don't drop the bike. Go around the cobra, out the other side because it's a dirt road, so I can on a dirt bike, over the dirt, back out the other side, and, of course, I made it home. So I think the lesson I learnt there was, you have to be a person who decides what they're going to do and take some action. And that's a great lesson for us all to learn. You know, when we're put into situations where we're actually challenged and things that are unknown to us, it's how we respond that is a mark of whether or not we're going to be a success.
It's amazing. You certainly, if that's only one of your stories, you certainly have many interesting and rewarding experiences from your overseas travels to draw on.
I do. They're very colourful. And they're lots of fun. And I can take you around the world. You know, I can drop you into Paris or I can take you into Cairo. And it's great fun.
So how has these experiences led to your reinvention? Because that's what we're really going to talk about, your life going forward.
Well, you know, when I decided to pull, I just returned from Cairo. I'd spent 2 years in Cairo, and it was just at the beginning of the what's now called the Arab Spring Uprising. So it was at the end of 2010. And I'd been away for 3 years, 2 years in Cairo and a year in India. And we decided to come home to Perth. And things weren't great when we got back here in terms of the economy, in terms of what work was available. And things went downhill rapidly between myself and my now ex-husband. And it was at that moment that I decided that I'd had enough and that I had come full circle. Interestingly, when we started out together, our first posting was in Israel. But in those days, in 1977, I'm going to show my age here, Israel actually occupied parts of Egypt. So I had that real sense of having completed a circle, that I started with him in Egypt and I finished with him in Egypt. And when we got back, it kind of played out that I felt like I had, whatever the lessons were to learn in that relationship, I had learned them and it was time to move on. So moving on, I then suddenly found that my kids had left home. Both of my children were born overseas, but they had left home. I was no longer a company director because my ex-husband got the company. I was no longer employed. I was no longer a mother. And then I had to start asking myself a few really tough questions like, who am I? And what is it that I have to bring that I can give to the world? And what is it that I'm going to do with myself? So that's how I reinvented myself.
Wow.
So, well, what I did was I sat down and started to analyze what were my passions? What is it that I really valued? And this is where I met John DeMartini. And, of course, John's in my book. And John has a book out called The Values Factor. And in The Values Factor, he takes you through a process to actually identify what it is that you most value. And one of the things he gets you to do is to look around your own environment and to look at what your environment is telling you about what you love. And, of course, mine is filled with travel things, things that I've picked up on my travels. And it was like, well, I value travel more than anything. And things actually the reason I said yes to my husband when he asked me to marry him, and because his invitation was, I don't know what I can offer you, but I can offer you a life full of adventure and travel. And I went, I'm your girl. I mean, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. You know, my bags are packed. Let's go. So travel's one of my highest values, research, writing, travel, and teaching. And so reinventing myself became, why don't I write a book about how I was paid to travel and how other people are paid to travel?
Well, that's a good reason. I think it's very interesting that you worked out your values, and I don't think many people understand that concept, that we automatically do what our values are highest, what our highest values are.
A lot of it's a subconscious thing. So it's about bringing it from your subconscious awareness into your conscious awareness. And when you do, it's like a light bulb goes on. You go, oh, duh. You know, like it's so obvious. And then when I sat and thought about it, I thought, but who's going to pay me to travel again? And I went, well, hang on. You got paid to travel before. Why can't you get paid to travel again? So that's how the book came about.
Okay. Well, that explains that. It's a fascinating concept, paid to travel. It seems to be on the social media a lot these days. Can you tell us about the book now, some of the experts that you've interviewed and why you chose them?
Yeah, sure. Well, I interviewed my first billionaire, which is Graham Screw Turner, and I was quite embarrassed about using the word screw, but everybody calls him Screw apparently, and it's something to do with his mother, he told me. Graham Turner, of course, is the CEO of the Flight Centre Group, and they've got now 20,000 employees worldwide. They're now in 14 countries, and they've got a multitude of different brands. But his latest acquisition is called the Student Universe, and he's now moved into targeting, picking up all the flight bookings for students travelling around the world. And, of course, that matches in very nicely with what I'm doing, because my book was actually modelling career pathways for young people, particularly those taking gap years or between school and university, who are looking at their options about how they can take their work into the international arena. So we were a good match. And he's a fascinating man. He's actually a vet. He's a trained veterinarian. and he runs a billion-dollar travel agency. So, you know, people often don't end up using the skills that they necessarily are trained in. And when I asked him why he had a passion for travel, and it all stemmed with his actual gap year. He took time off studying at university or after he'd finished just to have a break before he went into work and went to live in the UK and bought a red double-decker bus and kitted it out for backpackers coming from Australia. And he hung out outside Australia House, which is where everyone goes for their visas and things, and picked up his first lot of travellers. And from there it grew to 90 buses. And then, yeah, from one thing to another, he just kept going. And he's actually sold Top Deck about 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember exactly the dates, but recently reacquired it. So it was almost like I wanted to take back where I started. So that's a fascinating story.
Certainly.
I've also interviewed Natasha Zavella, who worked with Steve Irwin, the crocodile guy, and her television programs with Steve were broadcast in America to 60 million viewers. And hers is another interesting story. She's now a certified poisonous snake handler, which is an incredible accreditation to have. But she started out as a very shy young girl who couldn't speak or be seen. And so her mother put her into sort of coaching classes so that she would actually know how to speak. And now, of course, now she makes her money standing in front of cameras, doing television shows and interviews and training other people how to present to camera. I've also interviewed Mark Cowan, who's the CEO of Kruger Cowan, who's a celebrity management agent in London. So he manages 320 celebrities worldwide, including Richard Branson and Bob Geldof and Cher and David Stewart. And there's a whole heap of them. And Mark's story is that he started out in Britain but moved to Africa, started working in game. He had an advertising company and then worked in game parks and then found himself back in London and found that the skills of being able to run game parks weren't very useful in the middle of London, where he joked, and started out by getting one client. And that's all it took, one client. The first client they got was John Simpson, who's a BBC presenter. And then from that, this, you know, 20 years later, they've got 320 celebrities on their books that they represent. So everybody that I interviewed didn't necessarily, I mean, Mark studied graphic design, has nothing to do with the fact that he's now managing talent. But when I interviewed him, what he said was that he found that his talent, his real skill, was being able to manage creative personalities. And I would say to everybody listening, the thing that you need to find is what your strengths are. What are you good at? And then put all your energy into that. And the things that you aren't good at, let go of and let somebody else do. Don't try to do everything yourself, because every one of these people has had help. Every one of them has had a mentor. Every one of them has been coached, and every one of them has asked for help from someone.
That's really, really interesting. Everyone needs a mentor. It must be an empowering experience talking with successful, powerful people. Did you find common threads in there with all of your guests?
Yes. They all displayed a passion for what they did. So I actually, when I was, you gave me these questions, I actually came up with five P's, and that was purely on the spot. And that was passion, perseverance, presence. And when I say presence, I mean being present in the moment with the person that you're dealing with, being truly present to hear them and to actually interact with them. And then there's participation, and by that I mean being an action taker. You have to get in the game. If you're not in the game, you can't achieve anything. So you have to get in the games and participate. And the last one is performance. And that's all about results. You know, they got the results that people were looking for. And so that's why they succeeded.
That's great. The five P's. I'll have to remember that one.
I just invented them, so I'm going to write them down. put them in my workshops.
Okay. So have you got some tips that you've learned from the experts to set yourself up for a successful life, or for my listeners?
Yes, I think know yourself, know your strengths, play to those strengths, get a mentor, get someone who's going to help you, give you a hand up. I'm actually being mentored at the moment, and it's a great gift because I can just shoot them off a quick text. And actually one of them's just got back to me. So it's great to have that support because they're already in a position where they've made their money, they've done all they need to do. And it's an interesting position to talk to these people because once you've made more money than you're ever going to need and you have all of your needs taken care of, I always ask them what they're going to do next or what the big picture is, or are they doing anything to give back? And all of them, without exception, are. Graham has gone back to his roots of being a vet and has bought vast tracts of Queensland, which is where you are, and he's bought two big cattle stations, and he's working with the University of Queensland, and they are reintroducing native flora and fauna. So his passion for animals and for the environment and for the bush is being helped along because he has the funds and the money to do it, and he's a totally passionate about being a Queenslander. He's a very proud Queenslander and loves it to pieces and wants only the best for Queensland and wants to revegetate and reintroduce environments in which, you know, the native animals can thrive. Right. And that comes from an original passion for working with animals.
Volunteering, it's very rewarding personally, but you can help so many others in the same vein.
Yeah, and Mark Cowan, who's the talent agent, he's working with Cher at the moment. And interestingly, she also has a passion for animals, and there was an elephant that was in a distressed state, and she rang Mark and said, we need to do something, knowing that he has a history of working in wild, like big game parks. And so they're now putting together a project to actually close down zoos that aren't doing the best for the animals and create virtual zoos. And then they're putting up a program together to release animals out of those zoo situations into sanctuaries where they are well looked after and they can live out the rest of their lives happily. So that's interesting.
It must be very humbling to hear all these stories.
Oh, it is. It is. And it's lovely to see that they're doing these things.
With yourself, what is your greatest passion in life?
Oh, it's travel, easy. You know, so anything that will get me on a plane, and I'm just looking forward to the day when I can go beam me up Scotty and I can get there faster. So anything that takes me somewhere new and to talk to new people, that's my passion. My other passions are sharing what I've known with other people by speaking and by running workshops and, you know, sharing the knowledge that I've accumulated and giving back that way.
It sounds like you've been to many countries already. There mustn't be too many you have left to tick off your bucket list.
Well, it was funny because when my own daughter went on her gap year, she chose to go to Argentina and South America. And I said, why did you choose that? And she said, it's one place you haven't been yet. So, yeah, I haven't done South America, so that's on my bucket list. And I have actually been to the Caribbean, but not extensively. So there's still places to go and still more things to learn.
That's fascinating. And what else do you do?
What else do I do? I'm a diver. I love diving. I love salsa dancing. And I do bachata. So that's another reason to go to South America, because all those South American dances, I'd love to be able to have fun doing those. But love being on the water, love being under the water, diving. I think that those are my two sort of hobbies, if you like, when I'm not passionately pursuing interviews with people and writing books.
You certainly have a very interesting and colourful life. So how life has changed for you, I suppose, from when you first started out?
Yes, life is quite different. It's an interesting transition since I transitioned out of running the company that I was with, where we were dealing with oil and gas. What I found was that I had a lot of skills that I'd picked up along the way. Like, I know how to run companies. I know how international transactions work. I can, you know, sit on boards. So there's a lot of information that I brought with me, which I'm, you know, now sharing with other people. But personally, I think my life has changed for the better. I'm much happier doing what I'm doing now than I was in my relationship. So even though deciding to, you know, put an end to a relationship that was 30 years of duration, it wasn't a small thing to do. It was definitely a good decision for me, and I'm much happier now, and I have a new relationship. So that's the topic of my next book, which is called Taking Flight, and that's all about women who get to a certain point in their marriage, their children have all grown up, and they decide it's time for something different. So my next book is called Taking Flight, and that's all about leaving relationships and reinventing yourself and doing something different.
Well, that's going to be an interesting read, I'm sure, but I can hear in your voice your passion and your strength. So well done, you. I'd like to thank you very much for your valuable insights. It's always a pleasure talking to someone interesting like yourself that's had a very colourful and varied life. I know my listeners will want to know more, so how can they find out more about you and your programs and where to get hold of your book?
Well, the book is in a pre-order state at the moment, but you can go to my website, which is www.myname, which is Merian, MerrianStyles. That's Merian, MerrianStyles.com. And all the information's on there. You can pre-order the book, which hasn't quite arrived yet, but it will be here soon. And you can also jump online to sign up for some of my workshops, which are interestingly called Taking Off, because taking off, of course, is a metaphor for life. So if you want your life to take off, I'm going to give you the ingredients that you need to make that happen.
And is that online?
Yes. The workshops, are you saying, are they online?
Yes.
They will be. They aren't yet, but they will be.
There'll be something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Okay, you have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on my guest and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.